Hello, this is your Polycast for Friday, May 1st, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, the House passes a legacy funding bill, and supporters of the Southwest Light Rail Line ponder what to do next. The Minnesota House has passed a bill that spends about $540 million to improve the state's natural resources and the arts. The Legacy Fund appropriation bill doles out the sales tax revenue collected for four constitutionally dedicated accounts: outdoor heritage, clean water, parks and trails, and arts and cultural heritage. Republican Representative Dean Erdahl of Grove City, the chair of the House Legacy Funding Committee, said the bill spends the money fairly.
We don't have a baseline budget in that way. The baseline is zero. There are no cuts because one shouldn't assume that money will be there at that rate forever. And so there shouldn't be any entitlement. It is what we put together each year, depending on how much money we have and what the needs are.
DFL Representative Phyllis Kahn of Minneapolis supported the bill, but Kahn said in light of this week's report on state water quality concerns, the bill could have done more.
We're not doing it as much of the really serious work on clean water that we need to do. And I think it's divided too much to, and we have to get all of the groups that are involved in clean water working together and saying the most important thing is to clean up our water, and this is what we have to do.
The legacy funding bill was a rare big-dollar piece of legislation that got bipartisan support this year. The vote was 97 to 31 in the House. Some DFL state senators are asking that some controversial policy provisions be taken out of an environmental budget bill. Elizabeth Dunbar reports.
The letter to Senate Majority Leader Tom Bach was signed by 13 DFL senators. At issue is an environment finance bill the Senate passed last week. DFL Senator Sandy Pappas of St. Paul initiated the letter. She says the policy provisions would weaken the state's clean water standards.
I just am very hopeful that in the end we'll kind of keep our standing as a state that really cares about clean water, clean air, and support our state agencies and back in their rulemaking process.
Pappas opposed those provisions but voted in favor of the overall environment budget bill. The letter comes a day after Governor Mark Dayton called some of the policy provisions ill-advised. Elizabeth Dunbar, Minnesota Public Radio News.
The state will let five rural Minnesota school districts keep their four-day school weeks next year. Tim Post reports.
Education Commissioner Brenda Caselius has given five districts, Black Duck, Lake Superior, McRae, Ogilvie, and Pelican Rapids, permission to keep their shortened weeks for at least one more year. The extensions come as lawmakers are discussing whether to give school boards the power to set the length of their weeks. Josh Collins is the Education Department spokesperson.
The commissioner felt that given that there's fairly significant discussion going on in both bodies of the legislature on this issue, that we needed to approve that for one year in order to allow this really to get resolved.
School districts say four-day weeks help them save money. The Department of Education says data show they don't improve the performance of students. Tim Post, Minnesota Public Radio News.
State Commerce Commissioner Mike Rothman has confirmed that an FBI investigation continues into a troubled nonprofit that was shut down by the state last year. Tom Scheck has the story.
During his confirmation hearing before a committee in the Minnesota Senate, Rothman said the Commerce Department is working with several investigative agencies to look into Community Action of Minneapolis. A court-appointed receiver is winding down the nonprofit after an audit found that the agency's CEO, Bill Davis, spent hundreds of thousands of taxpayer dollars on trips, a car lease, and other perks. Rothman said the investigation is ongoing.
The FBI is looking into some of the reports in the DHS document and some of the receiver information.
Rothman declined to comment further about the FBI investigation, but said a separate investigation by his department into Community Action may wrap up in June. Davis has denied any wrongdoing. Tom Scheck, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Now that the ballooning costs of the Southwest Light Rail Project have called its future into question, supporters of the project are trying to figure out what to do next. Officials are scrambling to bring down the cost of the project to make it more palatable. Peter Cox has that story.
The 16-mile line is proposed to run from Minneapolis to Eden Prairie. That's where you'll find early morning commuters lined up 20 deep to get a seat on an express bus that brings them to downtown Minneapolis. Tim Fox has ridden the bus for the past 4 years, and he doesn't see the need for a light rail.
So it seems like it's a lot of cost for something that's more fun than necessary. Seems there's other places that could probably use it more than Edenbury.
Fox says he'd be fine if they scrapped the project altogether. On Monday, Metropolitan Council Chair Adam Dunick said that option is on the table after he learned the new estimated price tag is now nearly $2 billion. That's $341 million more than the previous estimate. So what's pushing up those costs? New environmental tests showed more pollution than expected on the route in Hopkins and St. Louis Park, and engineers would need to do more work to shore up soft soil where the track would go. There's also a one-year delay, which would add about $50 million to the final cost. Longtime Southwest supporter Peter McLaughlin says changing the route would be too expensive.
We've got to just take the sharp pencils out.
McLaughlin is a member of the Hennepin County Board of Commissioners and serves on a committee that advises the Met Council on the design and construction of the Southwest Light Rail. He says engineers are already analyzing different ways to cut costs.
Do you eliminate stations? Do you shorten the route? Do you eliminate vehicles, things like that? I mean, there's a list, and they need to be generating that list right now. And I think we need to act quickly to get that list and then make some hard decisions.
Edina Mayor Jim Hovland also serves on the Southwest Corridor Management Committee. Hovland says one station that could go is the last stop in Eden Prairie, one of three in the city, because that could be added on at a later date. He says that could save $100 million.
And I'm not trying to tell Eden Prairie they should take the hit here, but I think it means that all of us have to look at what we can do to make sure that this project works because of its importance on a regional basis.
Critics of the light rail plan say the new cost estimate should force a complete overhaul of the project, including a reroute. Here's Mary Paddock with the Lakes and Parks Alliance, which filed a federal lawsuit against the project last year.
It's ridiculous the amount of money that they're putting into this and the cost creep. We get numb to that. And there comes a time when you have to look at the cost benefit and say, wait, enough is enough. There's something fundamentally wrong with this project. And I think we're at that spot now.
Back in Eden Prairie, Derek Haywood waits for the Minneapolis-bound express bus. He just got off his overnight shift at Deli Express. The North Minneapolis resident says he would use the light rail a lot.
I commute here Monday through Friday, and on Saturday I have to catch a ride to work. So, I mean, as far as the commute goes, I would like to be commuted on the weekend, even if it's just in the morning or at night. But I think a train, a railing system would be pretty convenient.
A Met Council spokesperson says the Corridor Management Committee will get an update on the Southwest Light Rail next Wednesday. Peter Cox, Minnesota Public Radio News.
One of the most prominent members of the protest group Black Lives Matter is poised to become the new president of the Minneapolis NAACP this weekend. Nakima Levy Pounds hopes she can attract some new young members to the nation's oldest civil rights organization. But the NAACP's outgoing president says her role in the protest group means she's not the best candidate for the job. Brant Williams has that story.
Black lives matter! Black lives matter!
Earlier this week, Nakima Levy Pounds was among hundreds of demonstrators who marched through downtown Minneapolis. The protest was sparked by the death of an African-American man who died in police custody last week in Baltimore. A professor at the University of St. Thomas Law School, Levy Pounds also runs a civil rights legal clinic at the school. She's a Los Angeles native who moved to Minnesota in 2003. Levy Pounds says she's running for the presidency of the NAACP because she's concerned about racial disparities in Minneapolis, which are some of the widest gaps in the country.
This is really an opportunity to engage a broader group of stakeholders in this fight for social and racial justice.
There doesn't appear to be anyone running against Levy Pounds, although it's possible there will be write-in candidates on tomorrow's ballot. But that doesn't mean she's unopposed. Outgoing chapter president Reverend Jerry McAfee, who decided not to run for re-election, says the organization needs to focus more narrowly on issues that directly affect African Americans, such as black-on-black crime. McAfee says he doesn't think Levy Pound's involvement with Black Lives Matter is adequate qualification.
So if Black Lives Matter, Black Lives gotta matter even when black folk kill black folks. So always marching 500 or 600 or however many people against the police, which is a good thing, but you need to do that same damn thing in our community.
Levy Pound says she's heard that criticism before, and she says it misses the point.
The reality is that if a black person kills another black person, they can expect to be prosecuted. We cannot say the same thing will happen if an officer shoots an unarmed black person.
NAACP branch president served 2-year terms. Brett Buckner served as Minneapolis branch president from 2003 to 2004. He says Levy Pounds will likely bring some needed energy and new membership to the organization. Buckner says each president comes in with new supporters and agendas. However, he says it may take a while for that new leader to accomplish what they set out to do.
You have a limited ability to change the direction of an organization as storied as the NAACP. There's a set way of doing things. There's a constitution and bylaws that's pretty strict. We report up, you know, regionally and nationally.
Levy Pounds hopes some of the young and enthusiastic 20-somethings involved in groups like Black Lives Matter will also join up with the NAACP.
And I think that that's what's needed to begin to awaken our community to the fact that if we stand up and fight, if we march, if we rally, if we advocate, then that can lead to change.
Levy Pounds, who lives in Brooklyn Park and works in Minneapolis, says anyone who lives or works in Hennepin County is eligible to become a voting member of the group. And she says they can do that at the polling site, which is North Point Health and Wellness Center in North Minneapolis. Brant Williams, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
And that's your Polycast for this Friday, the 1st of May. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you again here next week.